For those of you who met us last year, I'm James Fife. My wife, Melissa, and I, and our eight children are Association of Baptists for World Evangelism Missionaries to Mongo, Togo, West Africa. We serve at a hospital in northern Togo called the Hospital of Hope. And this is my family, Les, our oldest daughter, in front of the hospital sign in Mongo. So we have eight children. We have two adult daughters that aren't with us today. Hiro, who's 21 and getting married in January. Whew. You think life gets easier as your kids get older and then they tell you they're going to get married. Allegra is 18. She is in Ohio. She goes to Cedarville University. Hiro is a senior at Boise State University, doing her student teaching right now. Plans to be a AP literature teacher. And then our oldest son, Ian, is here with us. He's 16. And then Colin is 13. Cecily is 11. Eleanor's downstairs with her two little brothers. She's 10. And then Graham and Boaz, which you may have seen Graham running around up here earlier. I thought maybe he was preaching today. He's 5, and Boaz is 3. And we are so glad that God gave them to us. So this is our family, and we have just a couple slides here to share with you. Go ahead. So as Pastor Brian mentioned, he didn't know where Togo was. A lot of people don't. Togo is in West Africa. You can see there between Ghana and Benin, south of Burkina Faso, a little skinny country called Togo. It's about the size of Vermont. Nearly 8 million people live there. This capital city is in the south, Lomé. It's the only deep water port in West Africa. We have ships lined up as far as you can see in the ocean waiting to get into port. And so we have one major highway that goes all the way through the country north, and it's called N1. So it's easy to remember. We live way up north, 90 kilometers south of the Burkina Faso border in a village called Mongo. About 40,000 people live there. And it's a beautiful place. It's the end of rainy season. Actually, what is it? It's the end of rainy season. Bug season is beginning right now. So the entire month of October, we get blessed with wonderful little creatures. Some of them are beautiful. Most of them are not very fun to have around, but if you like bugs, come and visit us in October. We can share lots and lots of them with you. Go ahead. This is a holiday that's celebrated in August called Tabaski. So let me give you a little history on Togo. The Association of Baptists for World Evangelism planted a hospital in southern Togo in a village called Chico about 35 years ago. And that hospital down there did some amazing work and in ministry and planting churches, just connecting with people. But in about 2005, the country of Togo came to ABWE and asked if they would consider planting a hospital in the north because there was no good medical care there. And so after a lot of prayer and consideration and exploration, they found a place to plant a hospital, and the country thought it would be a great place as well in the village of Mongo. Now, what's neat about that is our hospital is planted at the country's recommendation, right smack in the middle of the largest unreached people group in West Africa, the Anafo people. Why do we do missions? To reach unreached people. A non-Christian government asked a Christian organization to plant a Christian hospital right smack in the middle of the largest unreached people group in West Africa. That's a God thing. But this holiday, because we are surrounded by a majority Muslim community, 80% of our community is Muslim, 3%, is it 3% Christian, and the rest are traditional African religions. A lot of spiritism, ancestor worship, voodoo. But we have a lot of Muslim friends. And Tabaski is a holiday that kind of floats around on dates, but it occurs in August. This was at our soccer stadium. There were 10,000 men giving thanks to Allah this day for sparing Ishmael when Abraham took him up to sacrifice him. That's not what we read in the Bible. And so we have some conflict here in teaching. But very devout Muslim culture, very spiritual people, very open to hearing spiritual things. They just are being led astray. Go ahead. So this is the Onifo people in Ghana, a little bit in Benin, and right there in Togo. You can see we're right in the middle in Mongo there, the largest unreached people group. Go ahead. We also have Fulani people. If you read anything about Africa, you may have read about Fulani. The Fulani tribe is hated by most all other tribes. Anything that goes wrong, your crops don't produce, your wife dies, you have any kind of a problem, it's automatically a Fulani person's fault. And so there's a lot of tribal warfare with the Fulani people. That's God speaking. But we get to minister with the Fulani people, and as we get into the sermon today, I'm going to share with you about the Great Commission, and we have some Fulani missionaries that serve at our hospital as chaplains, sent out by one of the poorest countries in the world, churches, as missionaries to other people. If you think you can't be a missionary anywhere in the world, this is proof you can. The Gom Gom people are another very unreached people group that we have. We have a really neat opportunity with Gom Gom. Because of lack of education, there's a lot of illiteracy. So to have someone, to hand someone a Bible in their native language isn't always going to do a whole lot of good because they can't read it. We have a very devout Gom Gom believer that works with our radio station, Hope Radio, who is working on translating the Bible into Gom Gom, and it is then going to be spoken and recorded for Gom Gom speaking people to be able to listen to and understand. Go ahead. The market was a wonderful place to be. I was visiting with some folks just before the service started, or during the service starting, about bonbons, candy. Candy is a very important thing to have in the market with the children. We were wandering through the market. We had this was towards the tail end of our last time in Togo, which was August of 2019. We were wandering around through market saying goodbye to a lot of our friends, and we had started to gather a lot of children, and they just keep gathering and gathering and gathering. I guess here in Crouch and Garden Valley, you probably let your kids wander around the mountains and do whatever they want. In Togo, the kids just wander around, do whatever they want as well. You don't worry about them because other people will watch them. But the kids gathered around us, and we made our way around the market and out to our van. And by the time we had gotten out there, we probably had 50 children standing at the edge of our van because they all wanted a bonbon. And so we were handing out. I was prepared, so I bought lots of candy. And I'm handing it out, but the kids just keep reproducing themselves. And there's one thing you don't ever do. So when you come visit us in Togo and you bring candy for the kids, don't run out, because if you run out, you don't like that child. So we unfortunately ran out of candy that day, which was not a good thing. But we love the kids and we really enjoyed them. Go ahead. Melissa, and this is our second oldest daughter, Allegra, developed a very deep relationship with these two ladies. This is Robbie and Azia. They're sisters, very devout Muslim women. That work in the market. Robbie, next to Melissa, is a fabric saleswoman. She sells a lot of the fabric that you see us wearing today, and she sells some of the most beautiful fabric that we could find. And her sister, Azia, next to Allegra there, is a seamstress, and she made some beautiful clothing for especially my daughters. She was probably the best wrap skirt maker in all of Mongo. But devout Muslim women have heard the gospel shared with them, just haven't come to faith yet, and we ask for prayer for them. Go ahead. This is the Nobeji family. The Nobejis have a ministry that we support in Mongo, a sewing school. They go out to villages where children don't have a lot of opportunity to make money, and they gather up children who are who could qualify to be in a trade, and they teach them how to sew. They teach them to do hair. They teach them some computer skills. They teach them how to bake. And the sewing students spend 3 years at the sewing school. When they graduate, they're given a sewing machine so they can go and start their own boutique and they can make a living. But more so, This is a ministry, and they bring these kids in and they share the goodness of Jesus Christ with them, and we have seen a lot of fruit come out of these kids. Now, when you're in a Muslim majority area, there's a high cost to converting to Christianity. You have a very big chance of being kicked out of your family, being kicked out of your village. But these kids are allowed to listen. They profess their faith in Christ, and a lot of times they'll go back, and we can see Bible studies begin with entire families, with entire villages. So it's been a wonderful blessing. Go ahead. A lot of evenings, and I'll show you another slide here shortly, we'll go out and we'll show a film. This film was shown in a village about 40 kilometers north of us. When we arrived and set up the equipment to show this film on animism, spiritism, ancestor worship, there were maybe 15 people there. But as the sun went down and it kept getting darker, the people just kept gathering and gathering and gathering. By the time we were into the movie, we probably had close to 250 people there listening and had a clear gospel presentation afterwards. This village has a strong Bible study going on in it right now with a national leader who works in our operating room. He's one of our OR techs, a very firm believer, and his wife lead this Bible study, and we've seen a lot of fruit again come out of this. We had a chance to go to a baptism not long after we arrived in Togo this last time. These two men in the red and the white are from Benin. They had come to Togo for university education, and they had come to faith in Christ while they were in college. And they desired before they returned to Benin to be baptized. And so there was a public baptism in the river here, and then we shared communion together. What a wonderful, joyous occasion to see a public profession of faith this day. Go ahead. Village Bible studies are so vastly important. You can't just go and build a church in Mongo and hope people will show up. That's just not how you do church planting there. So church planting begins a lot of times in our hospital with one patient. Patient will come in. They'll visit with a doctor, a nurse practitioner, a translator, a chaplain, and the gospel will be shared with them. And I probably should stop moving. And the gospel will be shared with them, and that seed will be planted. And a lot of times they will come back and they will ask, or the village chief will ask, will you consider having a Bible study in our village? And as often as possible, that answer is yes. But we have a very serious problem in Mongo. We have a shortage of missionaries. We're here in the States right now. We desire to be there so badly. We have a shortage of missionaries to lead the Bible studies, and we have a shortage of qualified national leadership to lead these Bible studies. And to turn a village down for having a Bible study because you don't have anybody to lead it, that's devastating. Go ahead. This was our church that we went to, Church Bellamore. They have a physical building in Mongo. It's the only physical Baptist church that that existed in Mongo. And we have a lot of babies in our hospital. About 80 babies per month are born. Lots and lots of babies are born. So we had lots of baby dedications, but this was a baby dedication this day. And this young couple were so overjoyed with their child and just wanted to make sure that they again made a public profession that they desired to raise this child in the church. Go ahead. One of the ministries that I got to participate in, and I didn't really explain what I do, so I am the finance director for the Hospital of Hope. I work in the administration office, and I get to stare at a computer screen and work with numbers all day. What fun! It's a blast. But I also had an opportunity every Friday morning to go out with a couple of the chaplains to our local prison. And we shared the gospel out there. I didn't, because I don't speak French fluently and I don't speak any of the tribal languages. But you can reflect Christ even if you don't speak the language. So I got to go out to the prison with the chaplains and we would meet inside one of the cells because it's hot, and the cell was cooler. And so we would meet inside of one of the cells. About 15 or 18 men would come. One week, one of the men came to us and said, you know, the Muslim men won't come to the Bible study because they won't come in our church. We didn't realize they had equated that cell with being a church. And so we started meeting outside in the courtyard, and we went from 15 to 18 regularly attending men to about 70 regularly attending men. The Muslim men would all gather around the exterior, and they had some of the most wonderful questions. They really desired to know what the Bible said. And we are seeing a lot of fruit coming out of the prison ministry. One of the fruits that we've seen coming out of the women's prison is we have a chaplain that works in our hospital. Her name is Lamatu. She was in the women's prison for quite some time. I'm not sure what crime she committed, but she came to faith while she was in prison, and she is probably the best woman evangelist in northern Togo now, and she leads people to Christ constantly. So prison ministry is pretty wonderful. If you paid attention at all to the Grace Community Church down in Los Angeles and John MacArthur, I thought he said something funny. He said he's been in ministry for, he's what, 85 years old? He's been in ministry for decades and decades and decades, but he's never had a prison ministry. And when they were threatening with shutting the church down because of meeting without masks or meeting with people, he said, that's fine, throw me in prison. I've never had a prison ministry. I'd like to do that as well. And I thought about Paul, you know, no matter what was happening to him, whether he was out free proclaiming the gospel or he was in prison, he was proclaiming the gospel. He had ministry everywhere. Go ahead. So Boaz, my littlest boy, and I hope you all get a chance to meet him. He's not, now that he's three instead of two, he's not as social. But that little boy would shake hands with everybody and make friends with everybody. And he opened a lot of doors for us into conversations. But this was Boaz and one of his little friends. Go ahead. On the hospital compound on Saturdays, the man in the yellow shorts, Yalvi, and Dr. Elizabeth there in the blue skirt, and some of the missionary kids would hold what was called Kids Club. And the kids from the community, most of them Muslim, would come, and they would, similar to, I don't know if you're familiar with Awana, but they would play games, they would sing songs, they would hear a Bible story, and they would get a little bag of water and a snack. And I know that every kid likes snacks, but they really, really was a good opportunity. But these little kids, again, the cost of conversion to Christianity, adults fear doing this, but these little kids are allowed to go. And these kids would hear the stories, and they would hear about Jesus, and they would go home, and they would tell their families, and their families would listen. And sometimes their parents would come in, and they would say, what are you teaching our kids? Well, in America, you go, oh, that's a bad thing. But in Mongo, that's a good thing, because they want to know more. Will you come, and will you tell us? Opened up a lot of opportunities. Go ahead. This is me getting to sit in my office and stare at a computer. If anybody doesn't think that it's joyful to look at numbers all day, every day, I got something to teach you. It really is wonderful. But I also had a chance to meet with all of the department heads from the hospital because I did all the scheduling. Many of our employees, our Togolese employees at the hospital, are Muslim. They've heard the gospel message over and over again. It just hasn't hit yet. We haven't seen a lot of conversions, but we are seeing them. It is happening. But I had a chance to visit with them, not speaking their language and they not speaking my language. We did a lot of laughing and a lot of communicating. My wife always gave me applause. She said that I could talk to anybody even though I didn't speak their language. So Melissa is the lactation consultant for our hospital. She got to go in and visit with the new moms. She got to spend time with them and share Christ with them. Again, lots and lots of babies born. Sometimes the moms don't necessarily know how to take the best care of them, but through some guidance in feeding, through good medical care, and through sharing of the gospel, another inroad into people's lives. Go ahead. Allegra Allegra was our ballet dancer, super popular, loved everything, wanted to be a professional ballerina. Came to Togo with us, was a little emotional in leaving because she was leaving during her junior year of high school. And I don't know, I can imagine how hard that would be to just say goodbye to all of your friends at that age. But Allegra fell in love with medicine while she was there, and she worked in the operating room a lot. This was an amputation. She worked with Dr. Briggs this day to amputate this man's leg just below the knee. Sounds gross to me, but she didn't mind it and really fell in love with medicine. So Allegra is at Cedarville University in Ohio now, pursuing a bachelor's in molecular biology. And her goal is to go to medical school and become a neurosurgeon or a cardiothoracic surgeon and serve in missions short term. So praise the Lord. Go ahead. We had a major malfunction with our water pump. Now, we get all of our water in Mongo out of the river. So it's pumped directly out of the river, which is where people bathe. They wash their cars. The animals wander around in. It's filthy. It comes out brown. We get all of our water from the city, and we had a water issue. And you can imagine not having any water in a hospital is a bad thing. But we were working to fix the pumps this day, and all of a sudden this crazy storm, dust storm, came in, blacked out the entire sky. And then it started raining. This was during hot season, right? Hot season. It never rains during hot season, but it started raining just enough to get all the dust out of the sky. And at the end of the road inside of our hospital compound, God gave us that. And we were reminded of God's promise that he will take care of us no matter what. So we are ecstatic to get back. I don't know if I shared much about us as missionaries last year when I was here, but God has provided abundantly for us over the past several months. We've reached 97% of our minimum support requirements to leave for the field. And we are planning to leave for language school next August to Albertville, France. Hopefully finishing that by June of the following year, and then we'll transition directly back to Togo. We serve in Togo for four-year terms. So every 4 years we come back to the United States for a year of furlough where we get to share with individuals and churches what the ministry is doing and how things are going. But that's how it works. I think that's the last slide on there. So let's dive into God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to get into your Word, to read what you have been teaching us, to get a clear command as we study the Great Commission today. Thank you for Crouch Community Church and the people that are here. I pray that as we study today that you would light a fire in each of us to be disciples and to make disciples and to help to multiply churches throughout this world. As we sang, you've got the whole world. It's true. It's not just America. It's not just the Western world. It's the whole world. And we desire you and desire to share you as often as we can. Thank you for your goodness. In your Son's name, amen. So, have you all heard of the Great Commission? I was surprised to find out a few weeks ago that 51% of professed Christians do not know what the Great Commission is. Astounding. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, this is the most common reference to the Great Commission. And it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" How are we making disciples and multiplying churches? Go ahead to the next slide. In Togo, we're making disciples through relationship building. We are making disciples through our hospital and seeing our patients as they each come in. God has commanded us. The Great Commission is not a request, it's a command. God has commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. And in Mongo, we make disciples through these relationships that we build. We build relationships with individuals. We build relationships with families, with villages. And the Bible studies that come from these are just amazing. But again, here this is Yauvi teaching mostly younger children, teenagers, from the Bible. And they come and they desire and they listen. And we try to develop these relationships further so that we know these people and we can work with them one-on-one. And as they come to faith in Christ, we can continue to build into them. Because, as I mentioned earlier, we have a problem. We don't have enough people to teach the Bible studies. And we need to raise up national leadership. Western American missionaries are never, ever going to evangelize the whole world. And we're not expected to. But in verse 20, Jesus commands his disciples to teach their own disciples to observe all that was commanded, to obey. We are taught to be disciples of Christ. We should all be followers of Christ. But there's a big difference between being a follower and being a disciple. You can follow all day long, but if you never ever tell anybody what you've learned or what you know, are you making a difference? Well, maybe people can see it in your reflection of God. But we need to be intentional. We need to be encouraging, and we need to follow up. So a lot of our patients that come through the hospital who have a gospel message presented to them while they are in clinic or while they're in the hospital, go back to their villages. And here in the States, you go to the doctor, sometimes a few days later, you're in the hospital, sometimes a few days later, a nurse will call and check on you and see how you're feeling. Well, in Mongo, the doctors and nurses, they may check on you as well, but our chaplains in our hospital also check on you because we're concerned with your spiritual health, not just your physical health. It's not about just making people feel better and getting over whatever may be ailing them. It's the long-term implications of believing. And so our chaplains will go out to villages and they will visit with the patients that come into the hospital. They'll visit with the patients that come into the clinic. And they will continue to share the gospel. And a lot of these turn into Bible studies. And eventually, as these Bible studies grow, we start to consider them to be a church. But a Bible study remains a Bible study for quite a while before we actually consider it to be a church. But they need to have a good, regular leader, pastor. As we continue to look at the Great Commission, I don't know if you realize, and I didn't realize until just a couple years ago, how many times the Great Commission is actually commanded in the Bible. But as we look in the four Gospels and Acts today, we're going to see five instances. Mark, go ahead to the next slide. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." It really is that easy. It's yes or no. Do you believe or do you not believe? You can't kind of believe or you can't kind of not believe. Make a decision. My pastor used to tease me because when I drink coffee, I don't like it hot. I like iced coffee, but I'm also okay with room temperature coffee. It can just sit out all day, and that's fine with me. But he told me, he goes, "You're either hot or you're cold." He goes, "You can't drink room temperature coffee." So I confess today that I only drink iced coffee now. No more lukewarm coffee. But there's a clear distinction here in Mark 16. whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. If you believe, you will be saved. If you don't believe, you will be condemned. There aren't any other choices. Make a decision. If you're not going to believe, and if you're going to deny it forever, and you're going to argue and fight for your choice of belief, I guess I'm sorry. It's sad. But there's a clear distinction. Believers are saved. Unbelievers are condemned. And we want, through missions, I'm sorry, go to the next slide. We're asking the question, who here? We want, through missions, we want to lead as many people to Christ as we can. And this is an evening village film. The Jesus film was shown in one of the local tribal languages. And this was afterwards. A lot of the people were involved in prayer. You can see some missionaries there in the picture, but mostly just people from the village came and watched the Jesus film and learned. Some of them have never heard of Jesus before, never heard of what Jesus has done. But we want to be intentional with who, and we want to utilize the missionaries that we have, but we want to also utilize national leadership. We want to train them up, and we're using people, new believers, old believers, solid believers in Togo to disciple new. As we continue into Luke chapter 24, again, the Great Commission is given to us as a command in verses 45 through 48 from Luke 24. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Here we ask, why are we making disciples and multiplying churches? Well, again, it's a command. The Great Commission is a command. It's not a request. We are making disciples and multiplying churches because we're supposed to. God told us to. We ask, what is the gospel? And a woman that I'm extremely fond of wrote this, and I really liked it. So, the gospel is the news that, despite our inherent sinfulness and inability to live lives worthy of God's love, we have the hope of reconciliation and restoration of relationship with God through the sinless life of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, who came to earth, lived, died on our behalf, taking the punishment for our sins we deserved, and rising again on the third day, offering us his covering for our sin once and for all, making us heirs with him in the hope of eternal life. Men, if you don't have a wife that thinks like this, do more Bible study together. I am so glad that I have a wife that is so dedicated to the Word and so dedicated to her studies and so dedicated to her relationship with God. That she can write something like this. I wish I was as good a writer. But this is a clear description of the gospel. So, again, we ask why. Well, we're commanded, the Great Commission commands us to go and make disciples of all nations, all people, all tongues. But North Americans cannot fulfill the Great Commission alone. God's plan for world evangelism includes the global church. His entire church must be involved in global mission. Christianity began in the Middle East. It worked its way north, and it worked its way east into Europe and into Asia. Europe sent missionaries to North America. Christianity spread to North America. North America began sending missionaries to South America and to Africa. And we're seeing Christianity spreading and booming in South America. We're seeing Christianity booming in Africa. I read an article by Dr. Mbewe, is it Mbewe? The other day, talking about Christians in Africa. And I don't remember the dates. What was the 9 million? I think it was at the beginning of the 20th century. There were 9 million professed Christians in the entire continent of Africa. And I think the most recent date, which may have been 2015, 2010, that number's grown to 390 million. Now, many of them are nominal Christians. Unfortunately, in traditional African religions, there's a lot of syncretism. So if it sounds good, if it's spiritual and it sounds good, yeah, we believe that too. So there's some nominal Christians there, but we're seeing Christianity explode in Africa. But as you can see from the dots, the bigger the dot, the more missionaries have been sent out. Missionaries in Korea, missionaries in Ethiopia, missionaries in India are being sent out to other parts of the world. And what's neat about this is not everywhere in the world can be accessed by Americans anymore. Not every country in the world loves America. But a Brazilian can go into a country that Americans aren't necessarily allowed to go into. And a Brazilian missionary can share the gospel there. Or a missionary from South Korea. Or a missionary from the Philippines. Or from India. Or from South Africa. We're seeing missions movements happening and growing up in this great country that we live in. I think I had in my mind as a child that every missionary had to come from the United States. But we're seeing missions movements happening from countries all around the globe. And these movements are spreading Christianity. And we can watch Christianity move. What I think is interesting is Christianity began in the Middle East, worked its way north and east, worked its way over to North America, has worked its way south, and then over into Africa, and is working its way back north again. We're making a circle. But we need to continue to share the gospel as often as we can, everywhere we can. As we continue to look at the Great Commission in John chapter 20, verse 21, we ask the question, when should we be making disciples and multiplying churches? It's urgent, and it's very urgent where we serve in northern Togo, because the Muslim curtain is working its way down through Africa. Just north of us in Burkina Faso, there is major extremism. In Mali, it's no longer safe for most Americans to go, and it's really not safe for a missionary because you may be killed. And we're seeing in Burkina Faso, and I don't know if you read African news like I do, but in Burkina Faso in the last couple of years, there's been an incredible number of churches that have been burnt down, pastors that have been shot, congregations that have been shot at or shot. People are dying because they're professing Christianity from extremism. And fortunately in Mongo, granted we're in a Muslim majority area, we don't have any extremism. And anytime an imam or some extremist branch of Islam comes in, they run them off. But we don't know how long we have. And so there's an urgency. But in John 20, 21, we read, when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, nope, that's not it. That's 21. That's a good verse, though. When he had said this, he showed them his hands. Nope, that's not it either. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. God sent Jesus Christ for me and for you. He sent Jesus to pay the price for the sins, for the punishment that I deserve, that you deserve. We deserve death. We're born sinners. We're wretched people. And even after conversion, we still sin. And Jesus came and he paid that price. God sent Jesus Christ to pay my price forever and to reconcile me to him. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. So we ask when, go ahead. We talk about the urgency in Africa, especially where we're at. Radicalized Islam, radicalized Muslim people are working their way south. And Islam is taught, is professed, and is growing by leaps and bounds across Africa. It's interesting that Islam and Christianity were born in the same part of the world, but they're teaching our African friends that Islam is a black man's religion. Christianity is a white man's religion. It's wrong. They came out of the same place. It's not a race thing. But we're seeing Islam spread, and we want to share the gospel. We want to share the truth. We want to show people that God is not wrathful. God is wrathful against sin, but God is not wrathful against everything. And that the teachings that they're getting are just wrong. But the sense of urgency is there. And we don't know how long we have. We talk in our hospital administration, not if, but when radicalized Islam is going to come down to us and we're going to have to leave. And we're prepared for that. We're not afraid. God told us to go. We feel called to go, and we're going to go, and we're going to share the gospel. As we're running out of time, I'll pick up. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Go ahead. It says, where are we making disciples and multiplying churches? It's kind of hard to see, but Mongo's there in the middle of the screen, and this is a Google Earth shot of where we live. And you can't see all the villages out there. Some of them are hidden behind cornfields, behind out in the rice paddies, out by a grove of trees. We don't even know where all the villages are. It's amazing. They just seem to just appear and pop up. But we have Bible studies going in Komotikon, in Nashtari, in Fari, in Sadori, and many others around us. Our goal in church planting and church multiplication on our team in Mongo is to focus on the villages that are 5 kilometers out or closer. Because what we've realized as we've gone further, 10 and 15 and 20 kilometers out, we're missing the people that are right next to us. We're missing, I failed to tell you, we're members at Meridian First Baptist Church in Meridian. So we live just down in Boise. We're missing opportunities with our next-door neighbors in Boise, in Meridian. I'm sure you're missing opportunities here. We're missing opportunities with villages that are so close to our hospital because we're going to a low-hanging fruit. We're going somewhere where it's easier instead of seeking out those that are closer. We need to be building disciples. We need more missionaries. I don't know if you've ever listened to God, if God's called you to missions. You're never too young and you're never too old to be called into missions. I spent my whole life thinking that I needed to work in the landscape maintenance industry and landscape construction industry because I love the outdoors. It's fun. You talked about pulling the pump out of the river and winterizing the sprinkler system, and my ears perked up. I'm like, oh, that's fun. But in 2016... I was sitting in a missions conference in my sending church, listening to missionaries talk about what they're doing and what God has called them to do. And God grabbed a hold of me and shook me. And I remember after church that day going and sitting in the car with my wife, and I looked at her and I said, I think I want to quit my job. What? I said, I think I want to be a missionary. I think I want to be a missionary in Togo. And she looked at me and she goes, I've been praying for this for years. Ladies, if God's tugging on you and your husband's not getting the point, nudge him a little bit. Maybe my wife should have nudged me a little bit more. But we need more missionaries. We need more pastors. We need more leaders. We need more believers. And as we see Christianity spread and we see the fruit of the gospel being shared in Mongo, we continue to understand the urgency with the spread of Islam as well. But we see fruit. We see people coming to Christ. And we see people desiring to serve God and go. And then we see missions movements. I talked about the Fulani couple who are chaplains in our hospital. They were sent out by a church in Burkina Faso. Very poor. We're not talking about, you know, funding missionaries at tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars over their careers. We're talking about pennies. But they felt the call from God to go and serve. And they are serving as Fulani missionaries in another country. We're running out of time. We're out of time. But I want to read you Psalm 96, and then we'll close. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Jesus Christ is King. We have elections coming up. And while it does matter who gets elected and what gets voted for in the big scheme of things, I've read the book all the way to the end, and guess what? We win. Jesus Christ is King. Share the gospel as often as you can. Train up disciples. Make disciples. Don't just be a follower. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for allowing us, lowly people, sinners, to serve You, to listen to what You have commanded, to go and make disciples, to multiply churches, to raise up leadership, and to lead people to You as often as we can. I bring all of the prayer requests that we talked about earlier to You again, and just ask that in Your goodness and Your sovereignty that You would answer each of those prayers, that You would pave Your way, the way that You want things to go, and just have us to be content in You. Thank You for giving us the command to go and serve. Thank You for giving us Your Bible, Your word in the Bible, in our language that we can understand. Empower us and encourage us to share with as many people as often as we can Your goodness and the hope that we have through the death, burial, and resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray all this in Your Son's name. Amen.